Brother Hato, brothers and sisters, I have so far drew your attention to the writings of many Western writers, some who are or were foes of Islam, others who attempting to attack Islam, its Prophet Muhammad and the Holy Quran, wound up as converts to the truly and only religion which God has ordained as the seal and complete universal faith, namely submission to the will of Allah as preached by Muhammad, Jesus, Moses, Abraham, and all the prophets. Of course, there are thousands of Arab scholars, Muslims and non-Muslims, who have written much about the glorious Quran and the Prophet of Islam. Notably among these, and I give them to you in case you would be interested in searching for yourselves, are Bukhari, Ghazali, Al-Rafi, Taha Hussein, Sayyid Qutb, Hussein Haykal, Fawzi Al-Najjar, Muhammad Abduh, and Philip Hitti, who happens to be a very prominent Arab Christian currently teaching at Harvard. Nawfal is another Christian who wrote and has clearly shown the inherent continuity of God's revealed messages from the beginning of time, finalized by the Holy Quran. All of these Arab scholars, as expected, have written in Arabic, and several of their works were translated into English. Some have written in English, French, German, Urdu, Hebrew, Chinese, Russian, what have you, Spanish, and practically every language in use. Now, a fair study of a historically scientific accounting of Islam has never failed to attract the authors to its embrace. This may come as an encouragement to you, because through it, I assure you, you will get to know the real Jesus. God's blessings be upon him. What we aim to achieve here is simply to deal with factual history in order that we may comprehend what really and authentically is God's revealed scripture. While it is frequent to find contradictions in the Bible, and we should not be dismayed at that, after all, we are attempting very sincerely and very honestly to find God's real truth. Where there are contradictions in the Bible, as many of you know, none could be found in the Quran. Of course, there are attempts to misrepresent what the Quran might say. That is why we refer to the Holy Quran whenever it is in the Arabic text, and we put side by side to it the English translation, and even at that, it is very difficult to try to misinterpret anything in the Quran. The meanings are there, very clear, without a shadow of a doubt. So these misrepresentations will not detract from the fact of its authenticity, because we are in possession of the text which is identical to the original. In fact, Muslims do not have versions, a variety of writings of the Holy Quran. They have one book, written in the original language spoken by the recipient of the revelations, namely Muhammad. I am sure we are all in agreement that no Christian today is in possession of Jesus' original gospel, in the original language spoken by him. God's peace and blessings be upon him. What we find today, derived from the Bible in our hands, are concepts: deity or trinity, atonement, and the pagan concepts of salvation, replacing the oneness of God, the continuity of his message, and the completeness of divine revelation. But what is astounding is that the doors which are open to truth and inquiry are sometimes being shut for you. You have done a great deal to come forward and be willing to listen to this series of discussions. Many of you have never probably learned anything about Muslims and Islam, or what you have learned was totally from biased, unrealistic, untruthful sources. We are honored to have this opportunity because you are people of the book, and your ancestors who believed in Jesus were great people. We admire you for it, and we hope that the future holds for us closer ties. But when we come here with preconceived, unrealistic, unhistoric, unjust, hand in hand with heathenism and Hellenism, infiltrated and conquered, we find what we have in our hands that is given to us, presumably, as the teachings of Christ. God forgive me, because we do know better. Yesterday, in our discussion, I was sort of amused, in a sense, when my brother Hato gave an illustration about ring around the rosy. Because in it, he gave an illustration whereby, how do I know the Bible tells me so? And by going around, ring around the rosy like this, he made the analogy between it and what the Quran is. The fact is, we don't have to go through ring around the rosy. We have signs that tell us this is only God's. When Jesus was born of the Mary Virgin, that is a sign from God. When Jesus foretold the coming of the Prophet Muhammad, that was another sign of God, whether we do understand it yet or not. But when the Prophet Muhammad was born, and you will read that in your history, the history of the pagan Arabs, before Muhammad was elected, as I have referred to yesterday in Isaiah 42, mine elect, and I told you very clearly what's the meaning of mine elect. The Prophet's name, as I told you, is Al-Mustafa. Al-Mustafa, Muhammad. And when I presented, meanwhile, other verses indicating very clearly whose descendants he is, the town Kedar and Sila, from where Quraysh, his own tribe, came, still there is what you call hesitancy to believe that this is all written in front of our eyes. You see, God has a fantastic way of preserving truth. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament, as we have it in our hands today, contain some of that unerasable truth. This is the marvels of God's scripture. In spite of man's intention, in his corruptibility, he cannot change that which slips by him to give the signs, to tell us what's coming. And as we study and learn more, we understand much more about what we believe in and how did it come to us. But what do we have today? doctrines aliens to Jesus, alien to Jesus, apostles who did not speak with one accord, discrepancies in interpretations, discrepancies in verses, and discrepancies in authorship. We have denominations, divisions, and confusion, leading to irreverence, sometimes atheism, agnosticism, and continuing idolatry. Christianity, as understood and believed by Christians of both Roman, Catholic, and Protestant persuasions, means the three creeds, namely the Apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian. The cardinal doctrines of Christianity are the Trinity, as my brother Hato said, we believe in the deity, not the Trinity. The Catholics believe in the Trinity. The divinity of Jesus Christ, the divine sonship of Jesus, the original sin, and the atonement. As we have learned, the religion of Islam has no place in it for any of these triune God of Christianity. It considers the Christian deification of Jesus to be a reversion to big paganism. According to the Holy Quran, Jesus was not an incarnation of God, but a prophet or messenger of God. Unlike all other prophets, including the Prophet Muhammad, he was every bit a human being, and he lived that way. The only difference, he came miraculously and left this earth miraculously. The Quran is very clear about this. But the fundamental doctrines of Islam are: 1. The unity of God. 2. The belief in the prophets raised by God among all the nations of the world. And 3. The belief in the revelations sent by God to the prophets to guide human beings to truth and righteousness. And 4. The inherent sinlessness of human nature and man's capacity for unlimited moral and spiritual progress through belief in God and faithful adherence to the inspired teachings of the prophets. And 5. Personal accountability for one's actions. And 6. The life after death. And 7. The equality and universal brotherhood of mankind. I came across a very interesting comment in a book. At page 122 of his book, Jesus or Paul, the Reverend Dr. Arnold Meyer, professor of theology at Zurich University, writes as follows, and I quote: "If by Christianity we understand faith in Christ as the heavenly Son of God, who did not belong to earthly humanity, but who lived in the divine likeness and glory, who came down from heaven to earth, who entered humanity and took upon himself a human form from a virgin, that he might make propitiation for men's sins by his own blood upon the cross, who was then awakened from death and raised to the right hand of God as the Lord of his own people who believe in him, who hears their prayers, guards and leads them, moreover dwells and works personally in each of them, who will come again with the clouds of heaven to judge the world, who will cast down all the foes of God, and will bring his own people with him unto the home of heavenly life, so that they become like his glorified body. If this is Christianity, then such Christianity was founded by Saint Paul and not by our Lord." Unquote. By the 5th century, Christianity had conquered paganism, and paganism had infected Christianity. The church was then victorious and corrupt. The rites of Pantheon had passed into her worship, the subtleties of the academy into her creed. With this, we must put in mind, when we talk about the prophecies that we mentioned, some of which last night, of the coming of the Prophet Muhammad, Let us remember that the basis of what we have in our hands was written in Greek, and Greek was not the spoken language of Jesus Christ. There are two words that are very important when we talk about the identity of that is to come. To bring it closer to your minds, what we are referring to as translated and put in the Bible, but who is the Comforter? There are two words, Parakletos and Periklutos. And one should not confuse these two Greek words, because Parakletos, which means, as we said last night, advocate, and Periklutos, which means Muhammad or Ahmed, the prophet's names. In Arabic, the word Periklutos, which is Muhammad, is called Fariq Lito. And Fariq Lito was one of the descriptions of Muhammad. So if Periklutos, which means Muhammad, is the correct Greek rendering of the original Aramaic used by Jesus, then the prophecy contained in John 14, 15 and 16 relates directly to Muhammad's name. No doubt about it. No confusion. Straightforward. In Aramaic, the language of Jesus, Muhammad is Muhammana. And the word Muhammana, when translated into Greek, is Periklutos, not Parakletos. The doubt which has to be resolved then is whether Parakletos or Periklutos is the correct Greek rendering of the original Aramaic word used by Jesus. In the absence of the original Aramaic word used by Jesus, the issue may be resolved by searching the records of those who lived during the time of Jesus and had the advantage of spreading his teachings among the people to whom they had to speak in Greek. Among such men, Paul and Barnabas are preeminently qualified apostles, and they were chosen by the quote Holy Ghost, as recorded in the Acts number 13, verse 1 to 2, and verse 4. They were chosen to spread Jesus' teachings among the Greek-speaking people. It is well known that St. Barnabas wrote a gospel known as the Gospel according to St. Barnabas. And it is also a known fact confirmed by John chapter 21, verse 25, and by the recent discovery of the Gospel of St. Thomas, that the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Acts of the Apostles, and the Epistles do not give a complete account of all the sayings and doings of Jesus. Too many? Even if Parakletos were the correct Greek rendering to the original Aramaic word used by Jesus, the understanding that the prophecy relates to the coming of a human being and not to that of a spirit would be equally very conclusive in view of the fact that it is now agreed that Comforter is not the correct English rendering of Parakletos, but the correct rendering is Counselor or Advocate or Helper, any one of which would fit in with the functions of a human being and of a prophet. Many early Christians understood the prophecy as relating to a human being, and at that time Muhammad's advent was expected by the Jews. They even offered him to be a king, and he told them, God forbid. They even called him the Messiah, and he told them, God forbid, the Messiah has already come in the person of Jesus. We shall complete that in the next session.